come to Uncle Mo's for family fun. It's good, 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 good.
Mmm, sounds good.
Hello and welcome to Uncle Mo's Family Feedback. We look through the dizzying highs, the terrifying lows, and the creamy middles of The Simpsons seasons 1 to 12 through random episode generation. I'm, of course, your host, Tyler McRae, and join with me, the pilot went so well, we had to greenlight it. We've got Hazel Tyson coming back on. Good to have you on again, Hazel, and even though it's been a while in between, and I've held on to this little analogy, so I'll do it now, but spent, you know, a nice couple house parties over there, including WrestleMania weekend, folks, as we record this in May, but the effects still linger from, you know, early April weekend. There's not so much adrenaline in my soul, but a pain right in my hole, Hazel. And I know you hang on the periphery of wrestling fandom, which is probably the best way to be. Don't be a sports fan, don't get into wrestling, it just breaks your heart. Were you as crushed
really
with
does.
Me as the American Nightmare, well, turned into a nightmare?
What?
Were you disappointed with Mr. Cody Rhodes not getting the win over the big bad tribal chief there? I'm saying this to appease, say, five people that listen there and my own nerddom.
Yes, we were all disappointed. Or we were all very happy, depending on where you sit on the line.
There we go. Well, you were so disappointed that you didn't even watch the main event there.
Didn't even watch it. Couldn't bring myself to do it.
No, but in all fairness, you know, if you're a UK fan there and you're not used to staying up till... What time was it? Like 4:30, 5? What night
it was
one?
5, was it yeah.
Like? My God, Jesus. Yeah, and that's them splitting it into two parts, folks. They treat it like a Glastonbury Festival now, having the old night one, night two. But yeah, Jesus Christ, just absolutely dead. And I had to get a taxi and just pretend the Shame of Wrestling fan didn't come out when the cab driver went, "Oh, are you off to work?" Yeah, I'm off to work early, mate. I'm not coming off from watching grown men play around and, you know, not getting what I want from that. So I'm not willing to run through my fandom this early in the morning and being this tired.
My work is watching men in pants wrestle, you know?
Yeah, hey, that could be the dream. You never know there. You never know. But how have you been anyway in between? So, and I do apologise in advance there, but hopefully we'll make it up to the listeners through our acerbic takedowns of this episode there, compared to, you know, the wonders of the Venus de Milo episode there. Yeah, sorry in advance. It's got to be done. It's a test. Jesus tested, God tested Moses, you know, and Job, so it's all fitting.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I've been good. I mean, the main thing is we've had to reschedule this episode a couple of times just because I've not been very well. But one thing that I did do is I actually went to go and see the real Venus de Milo in person. I went to Paris to go and see it.
Oh, have they got it now? Have they
always
had it? Oh, bloody hell, I did not know that.
Yeah, they've got an entire kind of Italian sculpture section. And it was in there, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it on there. I was like, I need to go and see it. So we might end up with a couple of pictures of that on the social media there.
Oh, that would be sick. Like, what's the scale of it then? Because obviously I know the Mona Lisa is like postage stamp size, and that, you know, stuns everyone, and there's loads of cues for it. But like, what's the scale of it? Is it worth seeing? Like, what's the kind of description we're going for here?
I'd say it's much more visually appealing than the Mona Lisa, and I know that's very controversial, but there were so many people that were queuing to see the Mona Lisa, because that's also in the Louvre as well. This thing is just it's kind of like in its own room by itself, so you can just get really, really close to it. And it's not a huge statue, it's probably fairly kind of like life-sized, which is, yeah, because they've got other things in there, like they've got these absolutely huge like statues that were obviously at one time in their country of origin, but they were pilfered. And they've just got these like gigantic sculptures of heads in there that are just like taking up huge...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, huge rooms by themselves. But yeah, it's, you know, you can get really, really close to it and you can have a good look at all the detail and stuff. But yeah, really good. Nice to see it in person.
And we go from pieces of art to
pieces of shit.
Shit, folks. As we review Kill the Alligator and Run here from season 11, episode 19, directed by Jane Kammerman, written by John Swartzwelder, with the original air date being April 30th, 2000, and with the couch gag being that the family walk on hot coals as they go sit down. And as I ask all guests, Hazel, do you have anything nostalgic about this memory from back in the day? Again, did you see it via osmosis of memes, Channel 4 reruns, you know, have it on Sky? Walk me through it.
I have literally never seen this episode until a couple of weeks
ago.
Get
out of here. How have you missed that blind spot? Because it's like, you know, we're similar age range to that. And again, this was like, I had Sky briefly in 2000, 2001. And this was always getting rinsed and repeated. This was on a fabled season 11 VHS tape. Ironically, it included the worst run. There's like a 5-episode run. And I seem to have collected it on this one VHS. So, like, this is burnt into my brain. Please walk us through. How come this is a blind spot to you?
I have no idea, because I was looking at the rest of the what else is in this season. And there's so much of it that I remember, and kind of the episodes either side I remember so well. So after this episode in the original run, it was the tap dancing episode, which is... which I have such good memories of. But do you know what? There's a couple of episodes in some of the seasons that I just have no recollection of. So I don't know if it might be season 3 or 4. It's very early on. But there's an episode where Springfield just gets covered in trash because they have a fallout with the garbage collectors.
Oh, that's season 9. That's the 200th episode. That's a banger. With you two in it. Yes.
Right.
Oh my God.
Because I hadn't seen that episode ever until like last year. And I was like, am I living in some kind of like fever dream? What the fuck is this episode? Like, what is this? And I don't know how I missed that either. But there seems to be a couple of episodes that just were either never syndicated in the UK or just I happened to miss them. Because obviously at that time, if you missed it on TV, that was it. There was no rerun. It's not like how it is today if you're watching it on terrestrial TV where Channel 4, the episodes that they play in the week, they then play again at the weekend. There was none of that. If you didn't watch it, it was gone. It was gone forever. So, much like the South Park episodes, where if my dad happened to not record the episode for us, we had missed it, that was it, and we were fucked.
Bloody hell. Rough times there, being a kid in the 90s. Good lord. Oh, I guess very briefly, what did you make of the hit, well, I guess hid in your respect, that 200th episode, the Garbage Man one? Good, bad, indifferent?
It was one of those ones where, and much like this episode, and obviously we'll get into it, where everything works out in the end for no discernible reason. And it's interesting how many times that they seem to be able to completely reinvent their lives and go back to square one again, and it's all fine.
Oh, you'll find that a lot from like season 9 onwards. Like, they start getting screwed with the endings, but because they've built up that much of a fan base and they've been on telly for, 8-9 years at that point, you could give them leeway, but IMO, like, come season 11, they start taking the piss.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that famous ending. The children were saved by, I don't know, Mo?
Hey, spoilers, folks, that's the very next recording with our good friend Meg, so fingers crossed and ear out for that. Yeah, it's all cyclical here, folks. But we open this up with Bart getting the mail there at the Simpsons household and paying for on-couch delivery there. And he gives them a note, but it's all money from the Montana militia, but it's going to be real someday, damn it. Now, do you have any reference to this? Because I had to do some deep diving. I had absolutely no fucking clue what they were banging on about here, Hazel.
Yeah, I had to Google it. And now it kind of makes sense for when this episode aired, because it was 1999 that it aired. So the Montana Militia, they were an anti-government movement, and they were kind of obsessed with the collapse of society, and they were really anticipating it. And I don't know, do you have any recollection of, like, the Millennium Bug or the Y2K issue?
Oh, zero. I would have been 6 going on 7. So that was, if it wasn't wrestling or Simpsons or Robot Wars, I had zero interest in current affairs.
So my uncle worked in IT, and it was like a big issue. And that's why I remember it so well, because there was this big thing about what they were going to do. And a lot of people now today have this misconception that the Y2K bug wasn't a thing. But actually, we were kind of like days away from actually ruining some of our computer systems. And I think that people don't realize that there was actually a lot of people that worked behind the scenes to make sure that computer systems still worked. And I think that there's a very big misconception that, oh, it was all fake and it was all made up. No, there was a lot of people that actually stopped it from happening.
Because what I heard is, and this is only through absorbing, you know, those shitty Channel 5 talking head shows, where it's like the best of the year 2000, or from, again, King of the Hill have got a great millennium episode called Hillennium, and they essentially just rip the piss into it, saying, oh, well, it was never going to be a big deal anyway, what were we worried about? But so it could have been catastrophic, not quite planes falling out of the sky,
no,
like that trouser horror, nothing like that then.
No. It was things like ATM machines wouldn't dispense money and things like that.
Oh, God.
And some computer systems wouldn't be able to save and overwrite files. So realistically, like you say, not planes falling out the sky. We weren't all going to get a mass, like, I don't know, release of some kind of virus or something. But it was definitely stuff that would be an inconvenience.
Homer ends up getting in his mail a self-test monthly magazine there, and he starts, well, getting to work there because, you know, oh, that'll entertain me briefly. Now, were you like me? Thankfully, it only stayed with me when I was a teen, and I realised that, oh, wait, I'm feeding, like, clickbait titles and, you know, traffic to these crap sites. But were you into your quizzes like this, your tests, your IQs, your what have yous on the internet, or, you know, in the paper there? Were you like a lot of misguided young girls going, getting that copy of Grazia and saying, how can I satisfy my man? Am I a good lover? And all that. Like, because, oh, bless her, my mum had to go through all that. And then she looks back on it now, you know, in her 50s and think, what a load of shit. How dare I was patronised and marketed to? Or were you doing the BuzzFeed quizzes like me and saying, yes, I am more Ross than Rachel?
So, I, in my kind of notes, I'd put BuzzFeed question mark. And I remember one particular quiz that I took, and it was very late at night, and I was supposed to be at work the next day. But it was about what kind of bread are you?
Oh my God, that is barrel scraping. Jesus.
It really is. And it's things like that where I'm like, oh my God, what were we doing? What was BuzzFeed? But thinking more about how I was probably when this episode came out. So as a girl, there was a magazine that I used to read all the time that was called Ms. Magazine, M-I-Z-Z.
Oh, okay.
And it had a lot of these kind of like flow chart things and lots of these like A-B quizzes. And I used to absolutely fucking spank the shit out of those quizzes. I loved a little quiz. I loved a little survey thing. Oh, in my element. I love it. And I don't know what it is, but I think it's the millennial way to just be absolutely obsessed with categorizing yourself. Like, oh, are you a Taurus Libra rising? Oh, are you a moon child? You know, all this kind of shit. And like you say, are you more Ross or Rachel?
Do you listen to Busted? Well done, you are the queen of the playground there. And then please enter this highly expensive phone line so you might win Busted tickets. I see your game here.
You can listen to Corey and things that rhyme with Corey.
Selma starts whizzing these little quizzes out. First one being essentially what, you know, what your Cosmo and your Grazia do there. Well, Flanders, you know, this proves that you're a lover of 61 points. You're a frigid Frida. And then 30 points off for crying, because he wanted him to do a sex test. Now, forgive me, because this is like peak 2000 and all that, but is this Homer trying to do like a, oh, are you sure you're not a woman? Or is this like, oh, go on, like, you know, a fluff test, if you will, if, you know, can you actually get it up and all that? Because I'm still a bit confused by this gag, as much as Homer's, we know, is being a right shit about it.
I think this is mostly actually to do with a book, and it's become very popular now, about love languages. So, yeah, and that's where I think that this kind of gag was kind of supposed to be going, but obviously it kind of goes in a different direction as well. But I think that that's kind of more what it was referring to. But for me, this was really interesting because obviously the reason why Flanders was crying was because Maud had died 6 months ago. And Homer clearly couldn't remember that.
No, like, this is where it starts to, like, fuck me off this episode, because that, I hate that episode as well. That's horrible. And I'll give them continuity. I'm glad they brought it up.
Yeah.
But just the fact that Homer's still, like, heartless and soulless. The fact he goes, oh, yeah, so I'll go for it. Oh, what a day. Like, oh, lads, come on. Like, yeah. There's no... And again, there was zero compassion that last one, and the kind of joked about, you know, Maud, you know, she's not really the main character in our lives, but she was the main character in our heart. Like, just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't like it as well. I don't like Homer being, like, casually heartless and they play it off for jokes there, because it's going to get worse, folks. Hate to say it with these seasons.
Yeah, jerk-ass Homer. He's on his way. I felt like this, though. This was probably the first piece of continuity that they'd kept going. You know, like I said, in this episode, everything rectifies and, you know, it's all a happy ending. But actually with that, you know, it's not a happy ending. This is something that is permanent. And I think that's then the first time that that's reinforced as part of the season. I was trying to think, what other continuity have we had? And the only thing that I could think of was Sideshow Bob being in prison.
That, Lisa being a vegetarian, that got introduced. And
yeah,
that's
true.
Still fairly canon until, like, they had her eating bugs for protein and it's like a bug-eating club. But I'm not too, you know, hard and fast and loose with that. She's still a veggie in my eyes. Gil was a very late addition to season 9. He was like a brand new character, and they've kept him, and surprisingly still well written, IMO. But they've had bits of continuity, but I mean, I've had mates that are really into The Simpsons and these Twitter accounts and that, and the people who are pro Simpsons to the day they die, like with they keep retconning their canon of how Marge and Homer met.
Yes.
Like you have
and
to
the
you
marriage.
Can't avoid that. Yeah. I feel like you can't avoid doing that, like, because eventually they're going to be a bunch of 60, 70 year olds, and it's just to keep them, I guess, in their late 30s. So if that means you've got to do early 90s grunge references going into mid 90s hip hop and, you know, the season gone, then just so be it. I'm you know, life's too short to worry about these things, folks.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, they've got to keep it fresh for new audiences and what's relevant for people that are coming up now. So that kind of shotgun wedding because they were pregnant, that was definitely a thing that was relevant for people at that time, whereas now that's not really a thing. And if they're going to kind of keep it fresh, they need to keep reinventing these stories a little bit. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah, true that. As well as before Homer decides to test himself there, I just want to briefly mention him doing it at work. Again, not so much that it was a good gag, but just the terminology that Lenny used for, like, oh, who's your favourite Backstreet Boy? And then Lenny goes, oh, the little rat-faced one. Like, my dad constantly uses, like, things like, oh, you know, the one with the, you know, the one with the droopy face, you know, the little rat-faced one, you know, your man off the telly there, like, really.
Who could forget
his...
Dear Rat Boy?
You beat me to it. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, if they're slightly off, like, it could be any kind of stunning celebrity. Like, it could be, oh, Steve Merchant. I think, 'cause me and him are big Ricky Gervais show fans. Like, who's your man? You know, the one with Pilkington, you know, the big eyed fella. Oh yeah, Merchant. Yeah. Like, did your dad or, like, your any family members go off that? Like, you know, the little fella. Yeah. Him. Bad analogies.
No, but I always do it. I'm so Ooh. Bad for, like,
What are your faves?
To me, because I'm just so, like, I just can't remember words. And I know that sounds really stupid, but I can't remember the name for fucking anything. When I was getting married and I had to have my dress altered, I couldn't remember the name for a seamstress, and I called her a dress butcher. Because that's just what my mind went to. You're butchering the dress, you know?
Yeah.
so often I come up with these little things and I'm like, you know, it would be something like elaborate, like, you know, they look like they could play Johnny Depp in an adaptation of his life, you know, something like that, something stupid.
Oh, wow, okay.
You know, he looks like a prawn cracker. What does that even mean? What does that mean? Delicious. He looks delicious.
Delicious with a caved in face. I'm just assuming. I mean, from the state how Homer eats, he's eating a lot of prawn crackers. As we find out, he does his own, you know, when are you going to die? What age are you going to die? A little quiz. Whilst he's snacking on honey-raised pork ribs, so that's going to affect the test there. And he's a non-smoker, you know, pork ribs, so that lets him to 42. He's only got 4 years to live. Like, sweet Jesus, double checks with Marge, and she does a little Three Stooges. And these are very accurate. They're by the best scientists in the magazine business there, but ever so ignorant, you know, if you just change things with your diet, but no, he just screams and runs off there. And this is where, it starts nosediving.
I feel like the reason that it nosedived is because I was expecting on the finest scientists in the magazine business to have a little cutaway and for it to be like little monkeys at a typewriter or something. But there was none of that. And I feel like that would have been such a good kind of like visual cutaway. And we had that in the last episode that we covered where, you know, the under the sea bit where, you know, it cuts away and does this kind of like what's going on in Homer's head kind of a thing. And I'd have loved to have had that of like, oh, actually, it's not the finest people at BuzzFeed. It's actually just a load of teenagers making up the Harry Styles quiz.
Yeah, you know what? They could have done a lot more with this. Like, have the poor, like, I'm on your dress butcher thing now. Have the best interns, that's the word. Have the best interns like getting whipped and having to make these up. You're bang on there. But spoilers, folks, you'll find this a lot. This is where it starts to nosedive and the story just gets erratic. And I looked at like some of the behind the scenes production stuff. Mike Scully, who was a showrunner for the, I think, 9 to 12, arguably, you know, when it declines, he said this was essentially like three different stories into one. But there's no, like, through line. There's nothing that really matches it other than, like, oh, Homer has a breakdown and he has insomnia there. But and this next scene with, like, this did absolutely nothing for me. Just, and the big names, one's a big Hollywood producer and the fella interviewing him. They're guest stars as well. But just nothing. It's just long babbling. Homer's saying he can't sleep, gonna die. Family concerned. We get him in the power plant now, actually, and, you know, 7-year-old Tyler is not, you know, 28-year-old Tyler. I thought this whole bit of Homer going mental, you know, jumping around in a sack with a baby was funny because, he's a silly man doing a silly thing. But obviously knowing much more about mental health and having friends who have mental health issues, it makes my balls cringe. It's just nothing now again. I might be overdoing it. People might call me sensitive, but whatever. It just made me cringe, Hazel. I don't know about yourself. What do you make of it?
Well, for me, so I think we chatted about this briefly before I came on a few weeks ago. But so I kind of relate to this part of this episode quite a lot because I actually had death anxiety. And I experienced a bit of what Homer did. So what Homer is going through in this part is it's called psychosis. So basically what's happening is that he's having essentially mild hallucinations and connecting information that shouldn't be connected. So so for him, he felt like the TV was saying, we're going to kill you, like you're going to die. And when I was going through my A-level exams, I had the same thing. And it's so bizarre because obviously it's made light of in this episode, but actually it's quite a very severe and scary mental health condition to have. Psychosis is absolutely no joke. But when I come to describe it, it's almost like exactly what you see when he's watching that TV of you seem to think that everything is telling you that you're going to die. And I had it with music. So as I was like revising for my A-levels, all I kept thinking was, oh, all these lyrics are about death and dying and everything is, you know, everything's going to come to an end. And I was so terrified. Obviously, for me, I ended up getting help. I went for therapy. And obviously now I'm kind of, you know, I've never experienced psychosis since, which I'm very, very lucky to have not done. But for a lot of people, it's their everyday life. And it's very, very scary and very, very jarring. And I think, obviously, being able to view it from my viewpoint, having actually experienced it, I think it's a lot different. But I think for other people, it can seem like very insensitive and kind of a bit abrupt. And how Homer obviously presents in that with the thing of a mother can't die, I have a baby, all that kind of stuff. It is kind of erring on the side of taking the piss out of it. But I think that's kind of what The Simpsons is there for. It's kind of to make light of these kinds of things. But again, given that this was airing in 1999, I think that this could have been a whole lot worse in terms of portrayals of mental health and especially psychosis. So it's, in a way, it's kind of like a true portrayal of what probably happens to a lot of people when they're going through the almost like midlife crisis, or like for me, going through an extremely like stressful period of time. But I wonder if they maybe were tiptoeing that line of being sensitive there.
Ah, no, see, I wouldn't have thought that this would have been semi-realistic as what happens to Homer. So no, I really appreciate your advice there and your thought. And like, thankfully, I wasn't fully aware of that, folks. Mm. But yeah, I'm happy you got the help there. Now, from portrayals of mental health in sitcoms, all I've been used to, and again, it's from, you know, peak 80s, you know, Only Fools, all those kind of sitcoms, to say mid to late 2000s, the common thing I saw was like, oh, you know, we've got our friends accidentally been put into the nut house, and then you meet someone singing Camptown Ladies sing this song, you know, with paper clips up his nose, or, you know, someone thinking they're a duck and having a bit of a quack. Like,
yeah. Or somebody in a straitjacket in a padded room, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, hell, what do you make of that? Because it's horribly insensitive and all that, but again, I kind of get guilty laughs out of it. I don't know whether that's because that is the trope. And it's not like, you know, they're suicidal. It's just like, oh, they're in the loony bin. Ha, tee hee. Like, it's very like retro. It's like a retro joke for it, if you get me.
Yeah, I 100% get it. And as well, it's not the first time that The Simpsons have kind of gone down this this route of somebody having a mental breakdown. Obviously, we know that Mo is consistently depressed and, you know, is always having these suicidal ideations. But also in the episode, you know, Rancho Relaxo, you know, Marge goes, you know, she has a mental breakdown and she stops on the bridge there. Again, not anything like severe, not necessarily a harm to herself or anybody else, but definitely having that issue there and just being like, nope, I need to look after my own mental health and take that time out. So it is kind of interesting, the two different portrayals. With Marge, it was very kind of like serious and very, I think it was taken a lot more seriously in that episode, whereas this, it was kind of like laughed off and made a bit of a joke. And, you know, that thing of, I don't trust these cowboys, you know, it's kind of showing his mental state and kind of like picking fun at it a little bit more, because obviously Homer is that humorous character and we kind of expect maybe a little bit more of the kind of tomfoolery and the silliness of it, whereas with Marge she's a lot more of like a serious and balanced character. So when she has a breakdown, I think it's taken much more seriously and kind of like, actually that's the portrayal of what was happening to a lot of mothers at that time, where they had so much pressure put on them from children, from home life, from husbands, you know, that actually when she has her breakdown, I think it's a lot more relatable to a lot of women and a lot of people at that time with a lot of pressure.
Oh, God, of course. I mean, she's the anchor of that house. And, you know,
absolutely.
Full matriarch. The matriarch's toppled. Oh, shit, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And again, I think that episode deals with it well, because you see it, things literally go to the standstill, both traffic and with the family there. And it then paints her in a good light. She gets help. Rancho Relaxo, yada, yada. Yeah, rather than compared to this, where it's just a flash in the pan. I mean, we'll get into it. The best way of therapy, the psych doctor said, is to take a nice long break. I recommend Florida. And so the family head on down there with Homer shaking in the car seat. Fucking, yeah. And so they go to Palm Springs where they can just relax and, you know, just chill, get what is done and sort his insomnia. But no, it's not quite calm. It's spring break indeed. And it's Party Central, Hazel.
It is. I would like to point out one thing. On their road trip down to Florida, or across to Florida, because we don't actually know where the Simpsons live, allegedly, it reminded me of a time that I was in the car with my sister, and my dad was driving, and my sister said, "Dad, Hazel's chewing too loud," and it just reminded me of Bart and Lisa. Lisa's growing. I love that bit, that when they actually get to Florida, you're right, it is Party Central. It is absolutely crazy down there. But what I really love is, like, at heart, Homer is a party animal. So obviously when he gets out of the car and starts pushing the car, I just think that is such a, you know, it is perfectly what he would do, as we've seen in so many other episodes. Homer loves to get leery. He loves a whiskey drink. He loves a vodka drink. And when he has to pee, he uses the kitchen sink. You know, he is there. He is the life and soul of the party. So absolutely, he is getting involved. And he loves being around the youth as well, as we know.
Oh, bravo reference there. That's a later reference as well, folks. Yeah. If you know, you know. Let me know in the comments here. Yes, they arrive. And I can't lie, folks. Pretty much, this is his insomnia and illness cured, you know. If he can do that and then just change moods, then by all means. So, essentially, this is... He will get cured. I mean, even from just his reactions of getting tied to the bed and going everywhere.
Yeah.
But then again, am I being too harsh in saying, well, why haven't they kept up with him being depressed? Like, is that more general depression, where you find some days and then other days you're not? Is this actually an all right depiction, or am I all right in saying, you know, oh, well, they've just fucked this off. He's fine. He's wrecking cars and going to parties. He's cute
I would
now.
Say that this is definitely not a true portrayal. And I mean, I think the distinction here as well is the difference between anxiety and depression. Because obviously depression is very, you know, low mood, lethargic, don't, you know, not really interested in anything. Whereas anxiety, because a lot of people have anxiety about a huge range of things. But if you have generalized anxiety, like I did for a very long time, you know, it can just strike at any time. You can be minding your own business and then all of a sudden you're very anxious. And it doesn't mean that you're kind of like necessarily debilitated by it through all of your life. But sometimes you can snap in and out of it a little bit. But I do think that this was very much we've got to get this plot moving. We've got to do something with what we've got. And it kind of makes sense what you were saying earlier about there being like three different stories in here that they crammed together, because it was like, okay, that first section we could have had at the beginning of any episode. And this kind of, this party section feels like that, again, could be slotted into any episode, really. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what the kind of setup was. The point was, they're now in Florida and he's a party animal. That's what's happening here. So yeah, I think it is kind of, they have fucked off the fact that he has a mental health issue to kind of move the plot along, which again, if he'd had it all the way through, I think it would have been tragic and sad. So I kind of appreciate the fact that they were quick to get him out of it. Okay. But it's not necessary. Like, I think viewing that this is a cartoon and not a realistic portrayal of what mental health is, I think it's kind of okay for them to move this on a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want it too, you know, going for the Emmy schmaltzy. This is how we beat depression and psychosis there. And I tell you what, how you beat psychosis there. Jugs against the window. Because, oh my God, like, what a meme as well. Like, I've seen this, you know, with just Marge being horrified, and then the boobs are like, oh, you know, trans rights. Or, you know, oh, it's the latest release, and then, yeah, of a film, and then, you know, the naysayers are Marge. What a screenshot, my word. What, and how dare the producers and the staff and team have this kind of lewd affair on our program in there. I need to find I need to find the sales for these and buy them so I can burn them. So if anyone has, if anyone's got the original sales for these, I'd really appreciate that. We need to protect it. Think of the children, Hazel.
Take them off the glass. Take them off the glass.
That's how we end the first act. Going into the second act now. I mean, it's pretty much Sunset Suspicious Parents. I recognise that kind of shitty balcony and that kind of hotel there in Zante, you name it. And yeah, Marge just can't believe what kind of debauchery the Simpsons have gotten themselves into. Capped off with, and this is so, again, like, we're going to keep moaning, folks, so out of character here, but just some random lad going, show us your boobs, and Marge going, not now. Like, yeah, just, again, just completely out of character, just took me out of it. I chuckle, but it's just, yeah, not my Marge. Homer's realised, oh, yeah, you know, this is my true way of fixing myself there. But Marge, not so much there. She promises that, you know, Homer, of course I trust you, you won't move. But it's tied him up to the bed there as the family leave for some ventures of their own. Now, I guess I'll bring this up because I don't know what else to do it. But I've said throughout my time doing this, I love when, not even Simpsons, all shows have characters in alternate attires, you know, special gear for a special episode. This episode has a lot of doubts and down bits. I like the fact the family are in different gear. They're in their summer casuals there.
Yeah. I love Marge's headscarf. It's so iconic. Mm. It's so cool. I love it.
It's great. Did you spot Maggie has a little butterfly as well?
Yeah, I love the butterfly.
Stunning stuff. As Homer is busy trying to go cold turkey. Cold turkey for depression, it seems, yeah. like Superhands in Yellow in that one episode of Peep Show there, but he breaks out of his room, completely tethered, but manages to get to the beach, hitched up on the top of a VW camper van.
I love the fact that he'd written beach on the back of the bed so that he could get picked up at like a hitchhiker, but obviously he'd put it on the back of the bed. But it does pose the question, how did he get that on the back of the bed if he was still tied to the bed?
Hazel, that's not even the most egregious thing. You know what? Yeah, there's everything else in this there. Oh, speaking of bloody the 2000s and Doom Them magazines for Miz, we've got, my God, the entertainment industry is a husk, almighty compassing hollow, where we've got the young MTV VJ host saying, and because it's my 25th birthday, we're going to go extra hard. No, I'm only 25. A little palm, a little thing in a wrist goes off, gets instantly replaced by this doe-eyed 18-year-old with, and again, you're going to hear the word cringe a lot, folks, but what, tube jockeys, mosh monkeys, all sorts. Like,
what's up, chew toys?
Chew toys, yeah. What the? Yeah. I never even heard that back in the day.
No, neither did I.
I don't even know if that was just an American thing there, but
yeah.
Good Lord, Hazel.
I kept thinking about this 25 joke, and I just kept thinking about Leonardo DiCaprio, is all I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, what do you make of the gap then? Because I know you like your vintage pop and that. You listen to, he knows the name. Hits 21.
Hits 21. Hits 21.
Yes, I do remember. Yeah, you listen to Hits 21, a wonderful vintage pop podcast there. What do you make of the presenters' get up there? Because I was instantly taken to Top of the Pops 2000s, your Jane Middle Misses and your Gail Porters. Good job, girls.
Yeah, it just reminded me of, especially what the second presenter was wearing. It reminded me of a very 2000s show called Totally Spies. And I think as well, it's the way that they've drawn that character as well. But yeah, very, very kind of Y2K aesthetic. Get up there with the little tube top, and I think she's got like a little flower on there or something, and it reminds me of something that's come back now, which are it's called a baby tee, where it's kind of like a very cute t-shirt that's cropped, and it kind of, her outfit is very reminiscent of that and would probably, you know, fit in now with what a lot of the kind of Gen Z are wearing. So very kind of fresh, even though it's vintage.
Oh, I can see that on Vinted for a disgusting price, right next to the juicy pants, I get you. And we get our big special guest, folks, musical act, Kid Rock, and his buddy Josie, Jesus Christ. Right, I won't harp on too much about how, you know, he doesn't want to drink Budweiser because it's turning the frickin' frogs gay, as much as I mix up my shite Republican analogies here. I never liked him even before this. All Summer Long was a hit in 2008-09. We've got to live with that. I used to like The Undertaker. I like the American Badass theme. I don't anymore because it's called Growing Up, folks, there. Dare I ask for your opinion? Little or zero on Kid
Well,
Rock?
I mean, to be honest with you, like... I don't know whether he just never really came across my radar, really. Only from, like, you know, like you say, Undertaker. But it was, you know, it just seemed to be something that I wasn't really into. And it was that very kind of, like, because I was into my rock music. But I think even at the time, you know, Kid Rock was seen as, like, a bit of a joke. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how, like, Fred Durst... is a bit of a joke, and like Limp Bizkit, even
Vanilla
at the time,
Ice, way back in the day,
at the time that they were really popular, they were still like, oh, this is a bit cringe and a bit weird, and like, is this what adults think is popular? Because that's the kind of vibe that I was getting. But one thing that I would like to call out, because I had no idea who Josie was, they were lucky to get him for this episode because he died a year later.
Yeah, and again, I'm assuming you've done the research as well. His short stature and all that, apparently is all caused through him being a celiac, which I didn't realise had such extreme ramifications or consequences. Again, because my dad's celiac, only more so that, oh, he can't have bread and it plays with his stomach. But I didn't realise it led to... major health complications like that. But and I mean, out of the two, performance wise I much prefer Josie to Kid Rock. Even in his line delivery, it's really flat. In the production notes, Mike Scully said, oh, you know, he was good and he turned up on time and he had a couple lines of additional dialogue, which was him saying, pimp of the nation, Kid Rock's here, y'all. Like, it's not even deprecating, it's not even funny, it's just word of the day. It's cringe, Hazel. Mm. But Josie's actually, Scully said, like, we like the combo because, you know, it's lit and large. It's different there. So why didn't you just, I'd say why didn't you keep Josie? But he did a hell of a lot better job than Kid Rock there.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, his kind of jokes and, say, his delivery and stuff, it made sense, and he wasn't afraid to kind of poke fun at himself, which I think is, like, what you need. Like, if you're going to be a guest on something like The Simpsons, you really need to be prepared to kind of take the piss out of yourself, have a bit of a laugh. That's what you're there for. Whereas I feel as though Kid Rock... in the contract, it was kind of, we're not going to take the piss out of him. But Josie was definitely up for a laugh and was, you know, not taking life too seriously.
The classic, that doesn't work for me, brother, in the contract. I get you.
Yo, yo, straight out of Detroit, y'all. It's the J-O-E to the C. Let's rock the party with Kid Rock.
Oh, no, it's a lost child. Don't worry, folks. I'll tackle him. Hey,
oh, and I guess to put a little button on it, and because, you know, all things wrestling, I love my wrestling. Do you know Mr. Joe C and Kid Rock got involved, only because this is broadcast April 30th. They got involved in a match on Raw not 3 weeks later.
Oh, really?
They're amazing. Responsible for Scotty Too Hotty getting his only tag team championship. They interfered against Edge and Christian, and they literally did all the short jokes, you know, oh, what's the weather like down there? That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
It was the 2000 folk. Yeah, cringe. Interference, Worm, 1-2-3, and he's responsible for Too Cool having their only tag team championship. And he joined in doing the little dance at the end of Rikishi, and it's really cute. Everyone, please go and check it out. It's actually really well done.
Another thing that I hadn't heard of was pouring one out for the homies. And I don't know if I just missed an entire kind of meme or something. But I'd never heard of that. Tyler, had you heard of that? And had sort of 7-year-old you heard of that?
I heard about it when I was that young, but I didn't know the context of it. Because I think, like, the parody in Austin Powers. But essentially, in rap and, you know, hood culture, if one of your friends, you know, has fallen through drugs, gang wars, getting shot and that, in order to celebrate their memory, you pour a bit of booze out whatever you're drinking in memoriam of them there. It's only ever been with, you know, growing up in the projects and all that culture there. So, you know, what better way to learn it than from a white man in his early 30s who's a joke in the music industry, I guess.
Absolutely. And I mean, if we're going to pour one out for Joe C, we've got to make sure that it is gluten-free.
Yes, that's it. Kingfisher Zero, my dad's favourite. Yes. It's a big bottle of malt liquor. Homer sums the stage. Oh, before we do, again, one of the few laughs I got out of this, and it's the easiest show, but Homer going, it's a lost child. That's all right, folks, I'll tackle him.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Kid Rock with Bow with the Bar. Dreadful song, by the way, folks. Goes to pour the 40 ounce. Homer starts necking the malt liquor. Again, Kid Rock with the most late 90s, like, let's waste this biatch. Biatch?
Biatch?
What? Oh, yeah. Christ.
It's very cringe. It'll never end. In this entire bit, I just kept thinking about Homer Palooza. I felt like we kind of did this joke of Homer making a tit out of himself and not being relatable to the kids, and when he stood in the mosh pit singing the wrong song, that's very much kind of that's very much summing up Homer. He thinks that he's down with the kids, you know, he knows what's cool, when clearly he hasn't got a fucking clue. But I felt like this part of this episode was really, really familiar to me. And I think it is because of the Homer Palooza of, you know, this feels very reminiscent of him wearing that Rastafarian hat and all that kind of stuff. And Homer just being out of touch. And like you say, with him drinking the liquor. And it's like, you know, what is going on, Homer?
But while he's doing that and dealing with Kid Rock, the family are out on the Florida Everglades there.
Yes.
And they find Captain Jack, who's responsible for helping the town flag, and he's kind of their mascot, if you will. Now, this is where Tyler goes off, because fuck this episode. This is where Tyler goes off and talks about the happy times he had when he was young, and he went to Florida for his 10th birthday as a holiday. I mean, fuck me, don't go there now, because I saw through TikTok. Do you know this as well, Hazel? Like, no one's going to Florida. Abroad, expats, natives, you name it. Like, the tourism industry in Florida is dying because of their governor or mayor, DeSantis. Essentially, he said yes to every kind of evil lobby advertiser, you name it. So if you're a woman, if you're part of the LGBTQ community, if you're a young family, Florida's just awful and unsafe, so they're not getting nearly as much. So all your liquor bars, all your barbecue joints everywhere, surf shacks, it's really hit them because the governor's fucked it by siding with all these evil people.
You know what? It's funny because actually I know quite a few people that live in Florida. It's where everybody has seemed to have moved. So I've spoken to you about my uncle before. He is in a biker gang in Cocoa Beach in Florida. And he is very much, you know, doing his little bit out there. So for him, it wouldn't really bother him that there is no tourism. But a couple of my friends who live out there, yeah, I think that their business would be very heavily impacted by not having tourism and, you know, it being kind of an unsafe place to be. And I think over time, Florida has had a really bad rap, not just as being America's Wang, but because of the Florida Man stories.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you've told me about this. It's not just because all you see is like, oh, if it's some crackhead who tried to shag a flamingo while shooting a gun off, it's Florida. But they're not. Did you tell me they're not all necessarily Florida and it's just like a colloquialism? Or how would you best explain it?
So what it is Florida has a specific law about how they report on crimes in the media. So a lot of the states, there's a law where you can't report in the media, in print media or online, about crimes that have been committed or arrests. Whereas in Florida, they have this open rule that you can openly discuss it, which I think is really, really interesting, because it's not a case of, oh, everybody in Florida is crazy because they're all taking bath salts, which I think was the assumption. It's literally just because you're seeing it more often because it's more reported on, because they can report on it. So yeah, it's one of those little interesting facts that makes Florida seem really dangerous, you know, not just because of the biker gangs, but or the bath salts, but it makes it seem really dangerous. And actually, there's probably a lot of weird crimes that happen elsewhere, you know, Pennsylvania, places like that, where they aren't actually reporting on it.
I was going to say, I was going to make a gag about how, oh, is your uncle responsible for them fucking gas monkey t-shirts there? Or responsible for, you know, oh, fuck me. What was that really popular biker show that everyone loved for a hot minute?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, was he responsible for Sons of Anarchy? But I don't want to be dead in a meat locker, so we'll move on.
We'll move on.
But, yeah, you went Florida. I did. I mean, I kind of did what The Simpsons did. Like, we did all the theme parks. We did the Gator Everglades, you know, having a look for them. We did all sorts. We did rollerblading. Like, it was really wholesome. Loved it. It was a great 2 weeks out there. Did you have a similar great experience out there? Or
Never actually been to Florida. I went to Arizona when I went to the States, which we will touch on later on when we get to the end of the episode.
Yes. I just realised, yes, we will.
Yes. But I, do you know what? I love the vibe of Florida as a concept. I think that it seems very fun. Obviously, you've got like Miami Beach and stuff down there and Fort Lauderdale. It just seems very fun. And we'll kind of touch on a little bit of it later on, but kind of the scenery of Florida, it just seems really nice.
Yes, we will. So, you know, remember Captain Jack, folks, is very vital here. But
He's so cute as well. Even though,
is he?
Can I just say,
okay,
I thought he was a cutie, but alligators actually in real life, they are so incredibly dangerous. Like, I don't think that people realize this. They are quick. If they on land, they are quick.
Oh,
they
God,
are
yeah.
ridiculous. They can also climb fences. So my friend that lives in Jacksonville.
Oh, fuck off. Don't tell me that. You're taking the piss.
No. So my friend that lives in Jacksonville, he has these gigantic fences because he has dogs. These gigantic fences to keep the gators out, and he kept finding baby gators in the yard. And obviously when they're little, it's okay, but obviously when you get a big one, that's a very big cause for concern. And like I say, you know,
shit,
they are quick. They can climb the fence, they can climb the fences. It's not the bigger ones, it's okay, but the small ones can climb fences. So
Christ on a bike.
if we had nothing else to worry about, let it be fence climbing gators.
So Marge is worried, sick here, stumbling around in a nightie. You know, despite getting roughed up at the Kid Rock concert, hell, Homer had a good night. Now, is this Tyler in his first year? Because he's coming steaming drunk, he's seen 15 boobs, and there he's going, he speaks funny. That's my whole first year of uni, just living in the north.
Oh, thank goodness. Where were you?
Guess how many boobs I saw today, Marge? 15.
I hope he didn't cause too much trouble, Sheriff.
Ah, boys will be boys. I reckon he was just blowing off a little steam.
Doesn't he talk funny?
Yeah, I mean, what did you make of this? And what do you make of the sheriff character there, played by Diedrich Bader? For those of you who don't know, he did bit parts in sitcoms in the 90s, but he's probably more known for doing a lot, and I mean a lot of voice acting, like Batman, not original animated series, but like going forward, he's played like villains. He's had work on King of the Hill, on Futurama. He's got a nice, distinct voice, and the team here had him do a southern accent. I think he does very well here. I wish they brought this character back. And again, as Shaldean is, you know, one off, they can't keep going to Florida again. But like, I just started thinking of scenarios in my head. You know, like Wiggum's ill from eating too many donuts, so bring him in for an episode, and he really tries to get back at the Simpsons. Like, I could just imagine little bits with him. I really liked him, despite this. Again, poo sandwich of an episode. What did you think of him?
I really liked the accent, and I really liked his kind of warm character, especially at this part of the episode. And I agree, they should have brought him back, and even if it would be something like a bit of a cameo for the film, for the movie, Simpsons movie, that would have been phenomenal. Like, if he had just been like, I don't know, one of the police in Alaska or something, you know.
Of course, yes.
Something like that, that, you know, and you'd have been able to place him exactly, because of obviously he'd have the very strong southern accent. But yeah, I do think it was kind of a bit of a waste, but I wonder if part of that was, you know, scheduling conflicts and all that kind of stuff as to why he couldn't come back. Or maybe because they put him on a fucking episode with Kid Rock and he was like, nah, fuck this shit, I'm out.
I think it might be the latter. This is a poison chalice episode. And even the writers have kind of admitted,
they
like,
know.
Okay, it's not the best, but we stand by some of the gags. Which gags, lads? But nevertheless, we'll get into that. Now, that's the thing. The southern accent, and like throughout, well, from now on, throughout this episode, you'll hear like a proper, you know, deep south accent. Now, I don't associate Florida as much as it is one of the most southern states. I don't associate that with the hick, quote, typical redneck accent. I think that more as, you know, your Tennessee's, Alabama's, Mississippi's.
Yeah.
All that, you know, south going down the east coast there. I mean, what do you think there? Because for me, I believe it as much, but it just seems a bit out of place.
No, a lot of people do have that southern accent in Florida.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I think as well, because there's a lot of people, because there is, well, at the time, there was a lot of tourism in Florida, that you used to get a lot of people that would come from elsewhere too. So that might be why you kind of maybe...
Of course you do.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily associate that accent with Florida necessarily. You know, it's a bit like how London has that typical London accent, but actually, what is the typical London accent? Because when you go to London, you hear so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. Homer's cured. You know, you don't need therapy or, woohoo! You know, self-reflection or anything. You know, just essentially go to Zante for like 3 nights.
She's gone to Ibiza, huns.
That's the British equivalent there. Oh, you know, oh, my missus is being a right bitch. Oh, let's go out there. Oh, look, it's fine, because, you know, what she doesn't know won't hurt her. Or, you know, oh, well, we're on a break. Do you remember Friends? That was funny. That's not, that's not toxic behavior. That's fine. But you seem really cured now, Hazel.
Go and have 8 lagers and a line of Ket, and that'll sort you right out.
You're seemingly cured now, Hazel. And he wants to continue this spring break fever, but, It's not the same now. Like, life moves on, it seems.
Yeah, it seems that actually the college students have got to go back because, you know, everybody's looking to them as the future. Everyone is looking to them to be our future doctors, even though they've just spent the last week, you know, head deep in breasts and chugging solo cups of God knows what.
Yeah, but it's fine. Homer doesn't need those nerds because... And this is, like, surprisingly sweet. He goes, I'm going with the coolest guys who know the meaning of the word partay. And it cuts to his family and then playing Louie Louie in the back, which people know from Animal House and literally every kind of college party film from the 70s, 80s era. Yeah, and the family just look fed up. Like, when you first see him, I love Marge is like, I'm going along with this, but she's really against it, and she's got a big old concerned look on her face there as she's on the Everglade boat. It's brilliant.
Yeah, she is a couple of seconds away from going, you know.
Yeah.
I did think this. I was like, do the Simpsons know how to party? And I kept thinking about all the kind of party scenes that we've had. And I was thinking about when they have the cocktail party.
Yes.
And then they end up going to the marriage counselling. And I was thinking, yeah, maybe that's a different kind of party. That's definitely a keys in the bowl kind of a party rather than keys in the boat. Things do take a turn, though, when they're in the party boat.
They do. Homer continuing to sing, we built this city on rock and roll. I guess that's his go-to get the crowd going song. He did it at the Kid Rock concert. He does it here.
Yeah.
And they go off course and seemingly strike Captain Jack, leaving him for dead, pretty much.
R.I.P. He's dead. No, Tyler, he's dead to us. He's dead. He's gone. Don't wait for him. He's dead.
No, well, Charles didn't wait for Camilla, so you bang on there.
Fucking hell.
Not my queen, folks. Not my queen.
Hashtag not my queen. I really, really loved the animation on Captain Jack there when he has this panicked look as the boat comes speeding towards him and the boom, you know, he's gone. He's off. Goodbye, Captain Jack. We hardly know ye.
Yeah, like conveniently, it's like GTA logic there. Like as soon as you prang a car, oh, the cops are on you, you know, five stars. Like the officer pops out and goes, you kill Captain Jack. And then come along with me. Homer tries to escape, but all of Florida's water creatures attack him at once. All right, I'll go quietly here. But
why did he sound like Barney when he was being attacked by all of the creatures?
Did you find that? I've not spotted that. After,
yeah, he's like, oh.
I know Dan Castellaneta also does Barney, but I'll have to listen back to that. Actually, yeah, let me know if you spotted that as well, folks. There. Yeah, so they're all cuffed up, the family now, and Marge just can't believe his sudden turn in character. Oh, well, you seem fine. What happens, boys will be boys. And probably the only good bit of story development here, just, oh, and like seemingly real life, oh, well, you know, the beer companies pay me a load of money to look the other way, but, you know, throughout the rest of the year, oh, I'm a real hard ass. And now, yes. Tries to get the cuffs on Maggie. Oh, we've got a teeny Houdini. And everyone laughs despite them going to get thrown in the slammer, it seems.
Yeah.
Now this, folks, this next 20-30 seconds is actually my favourite bit of the episode, so I'll cue my bad boy self up here with the music. Seemingly it's just the idiocy of Homer and trying to get away. So
yes.
It's everything from the misdirect of there's the keys, smashes the handcuffs, alright, let's go. Goes in, and I'm surprised no one's done this gag since, but like, you can't drive, Dad, he's got your license. Oh, well, I'm gonna try. And then it starts, it worked! Like,
yes.
How's no one ever, anyone else ever done that gag? That's brilliant. I'm surprised, like, no one on TikTok or, like, Vine ever did that and, like, kept it hidden, because it's not like anyone's gonna claim it from this, from the poo heap we've got here. So, yeah, I'm surprised no one ever actually redid that joke in any of the sitcoms, because it's good.
I really love that. I really love this idea that, like, Lisa is trying to get it across to him, like, no, you can't drive. And he's like, Homer is thinking, oh, physically I can't drive, whereas actually, no, it's morally and spiritually you can't drive. It's so of it's kind of playing into that like idiocy of Homer, but it's very funny, and I did really like that joke actually.
This is our chance. Yeah, let's go.
You can't drive, Dad. He's got your license.
Well, I'm gonna try anyway. It worked! It's a miracle!
Oh, dang it! Now why does that only happen when nobody's looking?
Pull over!
There's no good place!
There's lots of good places. What about over there?
No shade!
We then go to them passing the officer where his hat bounces in frustration.
What was this in reference to?
I think it's like very, I think it's just the element of, you know, you're in a cartoon. It's very Looney Tunes. It's, you know, daft bollocks. Because I've seen I've listened to a few podcasts about this, and one of them got really pissy when that happened. Because it's, you know, don't forget you're watching a cartoon. Nothing's real. But like, and again, I used to get a bit frustrated just from that. But then I just think, you know, this is a stinker, folks. And this is the silly daft bollocks, so I'm fine with it. Like, it gave me a guilty laugh. And then just the final bit of he's chasing them, and again, like, I've had this with my own car as well, like, pull over, there's nowhere good. Yeah, there is. What about over there? Not enough shade. Like, yeah, it's like me trying to find a good car parking space, or very much like in the film Snatch, you know, what about that space? It's too tight. Too tight, Tyrone. You could pack it... You could go on a jumbo fucking jet in there. So I resonated with that. So from the family escaping to them trying to find a good place to pull over, that's my very good 20 seconds of this 22-minute episode, folks.
And I think, because I alluded to this earlier, there's so much in this sort of, like you say, this 20-second sequence where it's all of the set dressing to make it so that you know that this is Florida where we are, you know. Before he gets in, the sheriff gets in the car, he has to get rid of the white ibis birds off his car, which are famously in Florida. And they're, as they're driving through, all the orange groves. And it's all of that gorgeous kind of set dressing that goes along with that. And, you know, they could have just left it as very... They didn't have to have those little touches, but they did because it made it make sense for Florida and for this sequence. But it kind of makes it a shame that this is all they had to animate. This is what they had to work with. There wasn't much else to go in with. Like I kind of said earlier about, there wasn't, in the episode that we covered previously, there was a lot more room for having those... out of character, out of body experiences where you could kind of animate something crazy. Whereas with this, it was very much all they had was what is true to life. And I really do think that the animators picked up on that a lot. And it was nice to see, and I really appreciated it.
You know what? I've never really thought about that because, again, this episode gets panned, you know, broken record here. For the writing, the gag, the story and everything else, I've never really thought of the art direction in this episode, but you're right. To give it, you know, it's flowers there, you know, despite everything else there. I've never thought of, you know, oh, the animation on the birds flying away is really good. Oh, you know, the family are in different attire. Oh, we're through, you know, the orange fields, as you say there. Yeah, so I will give them the flowers. So props to the director for this one there. But it doesn't stop Homer. Gambling is family's life, as they make a very hectic breakaway from the officer, only to be sideswiped by an oncoming train the other direction. And the only way to get through it is to hit the hay, Hazel, as we go into the final act.
Right.
Fucking hell.
So, this, I know that earlier on you said that this is where the episode takes a dive. No, this is the point that the episode takes a dive. And to me, I have a thought on this. Now,
ooh, shoot.
Come with me on a little journey, if you will, Tyler. In an alternate reality, maybe this is where the Simpsons died. You know? Maybe.
Oh, don't feed into them, Hazel, please. Jesus.
We take such an unrealistic turn as to what happens. Did they die in a train accident? I'm just putting out there.
Yeah, this is a... what's the other theory? This is part of Homer's coma. Because that's the only way it would make any bloody sense.
Exactly.
So the family wake up, still getting shunted by the train, as Homer comes from the buffet cart there. But it's fine. They're going to find a way getting up. They've got their own little tactical maneuver, which is just getting a big old stick and shifting the family off there. As they roll down catastrophically, foobarring up the car, Homer being on fire, and the family are now destitute. They are stranded. Marge gives out, "Of all the situations we've been in, this is the worst. How do you, we always end up like this because of you, Homer?" And what does Homer do? Gives it that old 70s horrible comedian of like, "Oh, you know, I love being married, you know. Oh, her indoors, the wife." Like, sorry, is this Bernard Mann in here? I suppose it's not that extreme, but it just gave me that vibe of like, oh, nudge, nudge, oh, you know, the ball and chain.
Yeah. It's what I kind of liked about that little exchange was the realization that Homer has ruined yet another vacation and will continue to ruin the Simpsons vacations as the episodes go on. That, yeah, you're right, it is very much that kind of 70s why I order, you know, that kind of the, you know, wife means strife, all that kind of shit. One thing that I did like about the train section was when Homer went off to, he went off to the snack car to go and get coffee. And that is just such a wonderful little joke. And that was obviously Homer's priority at that moment. But it's, yeah, Homer has ruined yet another vacation and no amount of coffee can make that better.
No, it's a certain thing like death and taxes, folks, there. Do you know there's an extra bit onto that gag with snack car as well? You hear it on the radio later that not only are the family, you know, fugitives, but also for theft of an Amtrak snack car.
Yes.
So Homer didn't even pay for it.
Yeah, it's one of those tiny little callbacks that is, you know, the attention to detail there, because they had not much else to fucking work with. At least they called back that.
So they come across this diner there, and hey, a bit of luck goes their way, so maybe they can get jobs. So they end up taking all the ad signs out the window. Now, speaking of one-off characters, I don't like the character. It's just one gag, just the diner lady there. Just essentially, no, I like that. It's just, I didn't realise how many times she did it. I assume she only did it like, you know, rule of three, three is the magic number. But she does it when, they take the ads out the windows as well. Now, that, can I guess you've got a secret soft spot for her? As I've heard you go like, oh, I actually like when, a lot throughout this podcast now. So what's your thoughts on, I like that lady?
I just kind of thought, is there nothing that this woman doesn't fucking like? Someone could boot her in the face and she'd be like, I like that. That tickles my pickle. Yeah. I like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I liked the callback later, because there's a callback to that much later on. But I just kind of felt like she was saying it a fucking everything. And it was like, okay, we've heard the joke. Like, the joke has been exhausted.
Agreed.
And this is one of those things that happens in Family Guy a lot, where they'll basically do the joke to death, but then it becomes funny again once they say it at the end. So I wonder if that was like a strategic thing that they did there with that writing, but it did kind of feel like just move on from this character. Like, let's get to where we're going. We're going nowhere fast. Let's go.
Well, speaking of going nowhere fast, do you know, again, this episode had many issues with it, but again, I read in the production notes, they went 4 minutes over as far as like animation and with the story, and they had to cut back on stuff, including, we'll get to it again with a big reveal later, but then I think there's a load of stuff they just could have rewritten or just had gone without there, and it makes you think, maybe shave off this bit or rewrite this, or, oh, fuck it, I'll say it now, I completely forgot, because, again, with this, having, you know, done a writing degree and all sorts, and had smatterings, breadcrumbs of stuff in the industry very briefly for a year, I try not to criticise something without coming with an idea, because I just find that very, like, anti. I don't like moaning without coming with something. So, do you know who would have had instead of Kid Rock?
No.
2000, I would have had Snoop Dogg. And I've looked up...
Oh, yeah.
I've looked up the timeline. Unfortunately, it's before... I think it's 2000, early 2001, he brings out the song with Dre, and then Smoke Weed Every Day, those two singles. But he still had cachet. He was still big, and not quite... Maybe he'd hit his peak earlier that, but I don't see why he can't bring that. And you know who would have as Joe C? Nate Dogg. Because I thought of the one gag they could do. Do you know in... I can't think of the song, but the Smoke Weed Every Day song, you know how it goes, hold up, when it gets to the final Nate Dogg bit? Like, Homer could literally storm the stage and Nate Dogg could go, Homer, wait.
Yeah, like, that would have been cool.
That's it's a lot to change and millions of dollars to do just for that one gag, Tyler. But, I could have done it. Like, he was hot at the time and that. And he's still cool today. Like, he's still in the public eye.
He made an appearance at WrestleMania.
Oh, my God, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, if you want someone saving your segment when a 50-year-old man tears his quad, who shouldn't be there, go to Snoop Dogg. Like, my God, you want to talk about working on the fly and improvising? Good boy. Well done. Good dog. God.
Good dog, indeed. Oh, my God.
Do you have instead of Kid Rock out of curiosity, then? You think 99-2000, then? This broadcast April 2000, so they're workshopping this mid-99? Who do you get that's hot? Because this season you have Britney Spears come on as well, so you've already got Britney.
I'm trying to think who would... Because I think it kind of makes sense that it's like a rap act, just given what was popular at the time. But I wonder if... I don't know. It's such a difficult thing because, like, I obviously I'm having to use my Hits 21 knowledge.
Well, please do.
For, like, what was popular at that time, and, like, a lot of stuff hadn't kind of come out yet. You know, Eminem hadn't made a big thing onto the scene quite yet at that time. It's kind of difficult to place, but I wonder if even just, you know...
I tell you what, they're not rap, but they were the biggest thing for 2 years. Could you conceivably fit in the Spice Girls?
No, it wouldn't make sense for that crowd.
Oh, okay.
If it was The Simpsons in Britain, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Spice Girls were not popular in America.
Oh, were they not? Because I know they had like hot 2 years. Jerry left, but then they still obviously had hits going into like 2000, I think.
Yeah, 2000. I think their last hit was 2002. Or late 2001, what one is it? Is it Mama? No, or is it Goodbye? One of them was like the Christmas number one for that year.
Yes, I remember that.
The things that are popular overseas, you know, over in America, it tends to be a lot of your country acts, but that wouldn't make sense for a young, hip crowd such as the college students. So it just...
You know what? Sorry, you know who they could have had? I just realised. Outkast. Perfect.
Outkast,
there you go.
Yes, Andre 3000. Yes, son, yes.
Yeah, and this would have fit in nicely because this would have come out... They had, like, I think they had a banging album in 98. They were well known. And then I think, you might know this better than me, but is it 2000 or early 2001, you've got Miss Jackson, and then they start bringing out the pop singles, or they really start to break through?
Miss Jackson wasn't until a little bit later. I think that was like 2004, I want to say.
Oh, right, okay. Banging music video, by the way, everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone please listen to that, as we've just had a top of the pops of our own there for about 5 minutes. But workshop here. You missed out, Simpsons writers. You really did. So, the diner lady gives them a job, they're working through, they're trying to now live as fugitives, but turns out the officer, he ends up catching them and tearing them away again, but, again, I'll take every little bit I can from this episode, any gleaming sweet corn in the nugget of poo that this is, but I smiled, I didn't laugh, I smiled when Homer's doing Jimmy Crack Corn. And the family reminisce about Fugitive Life. Boy, howdy. Did you smile because it was a fun parody and he does rock and roll again? No, dear listener, I'd like to go back to wrestling again. Sorry, folks, last one, I swear. Last one.
It's not. Don't believe him.
Oh, away. Yeah, if you want a good gag with Jimmy Crack Corn, you got to go 2001, a year later from this episode, and you've got to go when a geeky Kurt Angle is trying to cheer up a psychotic Stone Cold, and he just grabs a guitar, starts doing Jimmy Crack Corn, singing about his Olympic gold medals, and Stone Cold essentially getting frustrated. I don't know what's happening. I'm the champion. I don't like this bit in my career, but it's creative, so... Yeah, so... Please search that out, folks. Like, it's the rare thing of wrestling actually being funny to normal people. It's superb.
Jimmy Crackhorn and I don't care. Jimmy Crackhorn and I don't care. Jimmy Crackhorn and I don't care. I got Olympic gold. I got Olympic gold. I got Olympic gold. Jimmy Crackhorn and I don't care. Jimmy Crackhorn. What?
What are you doing?
Trying to cheer up Vince.
Cheer up who?
Vince.
Where is he?
Where'd he go?
You ran him out of the room. You stink. You're horrible. You're pathetic.
Well, I wasn't any worse than you were. I listened to you when I walked in.
I spent a lot of money on guitar lessons.
They hear rumbling in the night, and they feel some motion, and they're being trailer jacked, if you will, and the officers found them. Don't worry. I'll have you in jail by supper. And then, you know, the woman comes out to deliver a final line of, you know, oh, you're stealing my trailer. I like that. To which the Simpsons, you know, they're in court now and the judge is saying, yeah, they're facing X amount of time in jail there. And Homer's deciding to represent himself. And you can just see where they're going, you know, drunken hicks of the jury there. But the thing is...
Well,
like,
I never.
But that's what I don't get. He says that. Half of them aren't even hicks. One of them's like... some German general. It might have been in the Monty Burns Has a Son episode, as the old dude he rips into. One's the wealthy dowager. Then there's like a load of normal people, and there's maybe like three sort of quote rednecks there. But like, it didn't land. Like they're not actual hillbillies there. If you just cut there and it's all a jug band, you know what I mean? Like, it's just lazy. It's lazy, Hazel. I'm sorry to keep moaning, folks, but this is just bringing it out of me.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe the joke is supposed to be that Homer doesn't know what a redneck is. And I think that his assumption is that everybody from Florida is a redneck, when actually, you know, you've got a lot of kind of oil barons and stuff that are out there and, you know... Like you say, the Dowager.
Could be. I think you might be giving him a bit too much credit, Hazel, to be my salty older self here, there. But no, I guess where he's coming from now.
Oh, he's a salty boy about it. I'll let you have your saltiness.
But the Simpsons are part of the chain gang now. Very cool hand, Luke. You've got the typical warden, giving him the whip treatment there. Breaking rocks for, you know, pennies an hour. But thankfully, they've got a bit of a break. They need some extra wait staff at the Capitol party there. It's an all right gag of, you know, no talking, no listening. Do you understand me? No, you just don't know, do you? So the family are at this little soiree at the Capitol building. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Hey, they're just kind of milling around. They're looking to distract the warden here. But in between that, we get some gags of, you know, keep getting whipped. Homer can actually play, you know, piano, jazz piano under distress there. I mean, if you'd like to walk us through, I mean, what did you make of this, what we had here?
I really like the kind of the callback again about Homer being able to play the piano, because as we all know, Homer knows piano and not piano from that other episode. I can't even remember which one it is.
No, this preempts that. So you find out, I guess, you can play piano here, and then that's a bit later in the Treehouse of Horror, if I remember. Yeah, so he's always had this skill. You're right.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes to show that actually maybe Homer's a little bit more educated on these kinds of things and what we give him credit for. But you're right, it is kind of like we've transplanted the Simpsons. This could have been, you know, from something completely different. This could have been a completely different episode. you know, however they've got themselves in prison, oh, okay, this is something else. It's a completely different kind of set in a way. It's just a bit shit. Like,
amen, sis. Yeah. There's no
there's
other
not
way to say
much,
it, though, is
there? Yeah, there's not much really to kind of go on other than the fact that, like, okay, we're getting towards the, like, kind of last 5 minutes of this episode. We need to wrap this shit up. So, you know, just as they're trying to escape there, you know, they get whipped and they end up being stopped at the gate and there's a big whoomph of fire. I don't even, in my head, I don't even know what happened because, like, I completely fucking switched off. That's so bad. That, like, for whatever reason, now there's fire.
Yeah, he entrapped them with a circle of fire as the family kind of impress and applaud him, but seemingly they're going to go back to the chain gang. They're going to be stuck in Florida. But no, they're not, because the status quo has to resume, and it turns out Captain Jack isn't dead after all. He comes out of the Capitol building. Now, makes absolutely no sense as to why he's there.
Yeah.
Until I find out there's a deleted scene, which actually explains this horrible plot hole as to why he wakes up alive. But unfortunately, Kid Rock's in it and he presides over his funeral as he gets put in the tomb at the Capitol building here, Hazel. That's why he ends up wriggling out of the Capitol building there. And they talked about the shaved 4 minutes off. Unfortunately, they got rid of a lot of the context in that 4 minutes as well. So it's a cluster mess, if I'm to button up my language now. But from top to bottom, I'm afraid, Hazel. So that's why he's slinking out there. And that's why it didn't make sense.
It, to me as well, and like you say, it's kind of restoring the status quo, but it's almost like Captain Jack is alive just in the nick of time, and it just kind of feels so clumsy, and it feels like they shaved off the wrong fucking 4 minutes, you know? The wrong 4 minutes when we needed this context as for why he was alive, or why he was there, or like why was there a party happening either? Like, none of this makes any sense.
But it's fine. They're free to go, but don't you ever step foot in the state of Florida again. Cut to the family back home, thankfully, and crossing off another state they can't go to. As well as all but two states there, North Dakota and Arizona. And I'll briefly wrap this up because, yeah, fuck it. North Dakota or Arizona. But, you know, Arizona smells funny. So let's go North Dakota. I've always wanted to see... fuck, I can't even... The Mount Rushmore, oh, that's in South. Oh, roll credits, right. Enders on a high note, Hazel. What do you think of Arizona? What do you think of the United States? Where can you tell us to visit? Give us your view.
Well, I just want to quickly call something out. So, that map... So, you know, there's this whole, like, running joke throughout The Simpsons about, like, what state do they live in? Oh.
Of course.
Yeah. I've watched so many YouTube videos where that map has been used as like the basis of the argument for showing where the Simpsons live.
Really? No
yeah.
Way.
And I really love the fact that if that episode has given us fucking nothing, at least it's given us the map because like it's... That's, like, there's no memes from this episode. There's nothing that I can think of other than, like, the boobs. But there's nothing else to kind of call out. And I think we've got tits and then we've got this map. So it's a mixed bag here. But I really like the fact that The Simpsons have fucked up so many holidays, so many vacations. They are not allowed. They are banned from all of these states. And the fact as well that, like I say, this has been the basis of the argument for so many YouTubers saying where the Simpsons live. Arizona does not smell. I would just like to point that out. It's really nice.
I hear it's boilingly hot, though.
Oh, my God. It is, like, in the summer, it is, like, in excess of 40 all the time.
Oh, my God.
When we went in January, it was 23 degrees. It was warm. not warm for other people, not warm if you live in Florida, but it's definitely warm if you're like us from Britain. In terms of other places that I'd say recommend to visit, I really want to go to Pennsylvania. I want to go and eat an Amish pie. They're known for their pies, Tyler. Did you know this?
I didn't. What in the hell is an Amish pie? I'm aware of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Liberty Bell, Amish.
Liberty Bell.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, so the Amish communities, because they are not using electricity and all that kind of stuff, so they reject kind of modernity in a way, but it means that they have honed their craft to do so many amazing things. So the women are absolutely incredible cooks. And there's a big thing about making sweet pies. I was speaking to one of my friends the other day, who was saying that the best pie that she'd ever eaten was a peach pie that was made by an Amish lady when she was in Pennsylvania. So yeah, it's they are known for like their kind of handicrafts, for their wood whittling, you know, like Bart, they'd be grade A at whittling wood. Whittling at a grade A level or something. Anyway,
yeah, that's it.
But yeah, maybe they're also making pies at a grade A level. Other places to visit. I really want to go to where do I want to go? I want to go to the Rockies. When I was in Arizona, we went to a place that's called Cock Rock, colloquially, but it's actually called Phallic Rock, and it is a big rock that looks like a dick.
I was going to say, you can't really unspoil it, can you, with that name?
No, exactly. But we went to Sedona as well, and that's got the most absolutely gorgeous orange rocks. And
I was going to say, I feel as if Arizona and that Sedona area played a lot in old westerns. I feel like a lot of locations may have been around there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ah, right.
And Sedona is home to the only McDonald's where the yellow arches aren't yellow. They're actually turquoise to match in and complement the orange rock that's in the background.
Oh, no way. Oh, yes. Wow. Bloody hell.
Little factoid there for you.
That is the end. We can finally pin this and sweep it under the carpet. Never speak of it again, like that Principal and the Pauper, which is actually a much better episode and nowhere near as controversial as this. Sweet
agree.
Jesus.
Agree. 100% agree. How come that episode gets all of the shit and yet everyone's
because,
like...
Because it's canon and because they do the screwy, oh, it never happened at the end. That's why, Hazel.
Yeah, but in a way, this never fucking happened, did it? Because the Simpsons died in the train accident, Tyler. It's canon now, bitch. Biatch.
Oh, please don't. I was forgetting about that as well. Okay, please give us, you know, much like Jerry Springer, RIP to him, your final thoughts on this episode here. Is it as bad as everyone says it is and his history would believe?
I would say that this episode is very much a nothing episode. It's not given us a very long-lasting gags. It's not given us memes. It's got nothing really all that memorable in it. And to be honest with you, like I just said, this is an episode that should have... Maybe the reason that this episode doesn't get as much hate is because everybody is so indifferent to it because of how much it is a nothing episode. You know, everything self-corrects, everything's fine in the end. The only thing is that they'll never go back to Florida again, but really, is that any business of ours? Not really.
No, it's not. And for me, and I'll keep it brief because I didn't realize how much for an episode we hate, I didn't realize how much would be into this. We've waxed lyrical here. It just falls off the rails, unlike that trainer the Simpsons deal with here. It starts off one way. By the first act, Homer's cured, pretty much. Second act, it's partying. Third act, it's, you know, they're alleged murderers. It's all over the place there. Yeah. I don't recommend it at all there. Kid Rock's a horrible guest star, let alone like what he goes on to do and his beliefs and the like there. Shout out the art direction, shout out the animators. Thank you for letting me for making me realise that, Hazel. They actually did a good job. It's a shame it's fallen on this damp squib. So with all that being said, I'm going to give this a 1 out of 5. Now, I feel, because I think you've said a few more nicer things about it, or just stuff that you liked about it, what's your final grade? I feel it might be a tiny bit higher.
No, I would actually just give it one set of baby cuffs out of 5.
Oh my God, I forgot my own gimmick. Okay, we're matching. yeah, in that case, I'd give it 1 out of 5 bouncing hats. Now, why does that happen when no one's around?
Why was this episode written whilst no one else was around?
Thank you. There we go. And that's how we end it, folks.
Well, this has been great. It's a shame about the episode being so shit.
With that fine analogy, could you enlighten us with any plugs? What are you doing at the minute, Hazel? Do you want to plug anything? I feel like you could have had a better plug on a better episode, but the space is there. Please, it's all yours.
So I'm actually raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support, and my feat that I am doing is I'm doing a trek of Snowdon at night. Snowdon is the biggest mountain in Wales, and it's a little bit of a toughie. So any support that you can give will really, really help, and it'll help to really support people that are affected by cancer and their families to help to live a much more comfortable life.
Perfect. I will put down the link into that on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and in the feed for the podcast as well. But Hazel, as always, thank you very much, and don't worry, you'll get a... Hey, you've done your exams now. You'll have a nice McDonald's next time you come on. I'll give you a treat next time.
Thanks for having me.
Come to Uncle Mo's for family fun. It's good, 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 good.
Sounds good.